Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Okay, Brill. Right, let me get my notes up.
Oh,
yay!
I don't have any notes. I've forgotten all of it all completely.
Don't worry. I'm hoping mine will trigger you. I wrote quite a lot for this final episode.
Fabulous.
Sorry, nasty noise.
That's okay. Should we talk about the elephant in the room first?
Oh, yeah, we should. So I'm going to caveat this by saying if you are a patron, you should get a video of this taste test taking place. It's 5 minutes shot on my phone by me and Esther.
Super professional.
It's not great, but you will at least get to see the drama go down. However, for the rest of you all, we have made a cake for this episode.
Yeah, well, each of us have made a cake, which we were sort of scoring to all intents and purposes. And I was making something that I've made before because I had like 15 minutes last night to cobble something together in between shouting at the kids. And so I made these kind of, it's a classic Newman bake, which was like an oat biscuit thing, which they're okay, but you know, I have to say that they have taken on the flavour of inside of a tin. They've got that distinct flavour to them. But they're all right. They're okay. But Holly's lemon drizzle, absolutely wonderful.
Frankly, I shouldn't have taken a huge bite of the oat.
She has taken a huge biscuit. Bite. I'm going to eat a bit of Holly's lemon drizzle right here on the pod.
Oh, she is. This is a mukbang episode, as promised. Esther's oat biscuits. I think you are doing them down. I really, really liked them. They're definitely the sort of thing that you could eat quite a lot of. Because they're not overly sweet, but they do feel like a treat. 100%. I could bosh those down. I tell you what they would actually be really good for once venturing into what we're supposed to have started this podcast to talk about in the first place. They would be such good, like, little trail running things that if you had those, that would be 100% what I would opt for halfway through a trail run.
Yeah, sort of oaty goodness.
Really, really good. They're like somewhere between a cookie and a flapjack.
Yes, they are indeed.
They're really, really
difficult to eat while you're doing anything audible.
Yes, I'm realizing
that. So sorry.
I feel like I still sound a bit like I'm masticating live on the podcast.
Jesus, Holly.
Apologies. Tell me your process.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you don't have to give me full recipe, but tell me what was it like making them? Did you sort of sit there with a lovely apron on and make them with children running around your feet? Did birds come and land on your windowsill?
It was very similar to that, actually, I have to say. Aside from the shouting at my children and doing it in the sort of 12 minutes between shouting at them and then making them go to bed. and then not entirely being that sure about the temperature of the oven and having to come down and check on it in between reading Harry Potter, of course. And it, but yeah, it was fine. It one of the easiest recipes in the whole world. It's one of those lovely ones where you don't have to beat anything up because there's no butter in it because it's vegetable oil. So it means that the kind of all the hard work of the baking is done because it's kind of, it's just all wet stuff and then you chuck in the flour and the oats and that's it.
So, yeah, I'm just testing whether my muscles are hurting today. I think, they are a tiny bit.
Oh, really?
Because, yeah, I did find the lemon drizzle was beating butter. I did BBC Good Food too. We both used BBC Good Food for this. Mm-hmm. I did, it was like butter and sugar that you like beat to this sort of like a creamy, you know.
And do you use a hand mixer or do you literally
do it by hand? I don't have one, so I had to do it by hand.
Holly.
I know, it was brutal.
That is really tough.
I think that's probably why it's not quite as light and fluffy as I would have hoped, because fucking hell, I beat the shit out of it.
Yeah. I would never have, that takes dedication to
Thank
the cause
you.
Of this episode.
It did take me maybe an hour and a half after work yesterday.
Oh my God.
But I didn't really have anything else to do. You've got a very busy life at the moment, whereas I was just sitting waiting for my husband to come home from war.
brackets work, but very similar. Yeah, it's nativity time in the Newman household, so it's all become a sort of absolute shit fit of doing projects for the last few weeks of school that include Anglo-Saxon helmets, as well as finding soldier outfits and innkeeper outfits. It's all quite tricky. But, you know, having a little time to bake is a little time to yourself, isn't it? It's a joy. So I did enjoy it, actually.
I enjoyed it too. I watched Friends in the background.
Nice.
And I made it and I did feel like, wow, this is a very wholesome occasion.
Yeah, that is lovely.
It did feel very wholesome to do.
Really enjoyed it. Did you get to watch Bake Off afterwards?
I actually watched Bake Off this morning. I got up early and made myself a coffee and sat and watched Bake Off, and it was lush.
It was the best.
It was amazing. I loved this episode. I've loved doing these. I think we mentioned it on the podcast, our main pod, on Thursday. But we are going to be taking a break from doing a second episode a week at the moment because of Anglo-Saxon helmets, etc.
Fucking hell.
But we've loved doing these, and I think we'd love to do something like this again in the future.
Oh my God, yeah.
Oh, it's been fab. It's been really fun.
It's been amazing, and it's made me love this series, I think.
Me too.
More than any other, because I've really kind of... I feel quite invested. I do think it has been better than lots of others. Not because the contestants were better or the bakes were better or anything like that. But I think there were a couple of times I've completely forgot my notes, which is very unprofessional of me. But I do remember writing down at several points in my notes, this is fantastic. What a good choice.
Yeah, me too.
Like the choices of the bakes, yet again, the whole way through this series have been spot on. Absolutely fantastic. There's none of this kind of, you know, make a religieuse or make a something which has got 18 layers and you only find in kind
it
of
was just
one sector of
baking.
Poland or something. Yeah, it was classic baking. And I absolutely loved that. I thought it was the best.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it as well. I feel like I actually had like a little, when I got it this morning, made my little coffee and put it on.
Yeah.
I had a real moment of like, it was almost like school or something where it's like the end of term or something where I was like, oh, this has been such a, like, it felt quite stressful at the time. Looking back on it though, I just feel like, oh, I don't want to not have an episode to watch and not be able to like do the pod next week. Like, it's just been so much fun. So
yeah,
it's gone in a flash too.
It's gone in a complete flash.
I can't believe
we've
been doing this for 10 weeks.
10 weeks
and that this show has been going for 10 weeks.
I know, it's been amazing. And I keep on forgetting as well that there are stuff that I've talked to you outside of this podcast that I haven't spoken about on the podcast. So there's one thing I wanted to talk to you about, which was there was a lovely thing on Instagram, which was Tasha talking about the names of the other contestants.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God. If you don't follow the Bake Off Instagram account, then please do, because there are some absolute gems on that. And they were very good about no spoilers as well.
Okay, because that's my fear. That's why I don't follow. A bit like with Drag Race, for example, I won't follow any of the contestants who are on it that season. I will wait until it's over and then I'll do a mass follow of all of my favourites.
You can sort of tell, actually, by the Instagram follows of the bakers that's a lot of people are like that. But they're very... I think that also all the bakers are really heavily trained and monitored. So there's lots of kind of spoiler alerts and a nice big gap and stuff like that. But on the Bake Off Instagram account itself... they've done some lovely, lovely things. And they had a lovely interview with, it was Tasha and her sign interpreter.
Yeah, I feel like Daryl. I've already... Daryl, that's his name.
Daryl.
So we discovered this only a couple of episodes ago and I've already forgotten.
He's Daryl. The nicest. There was a conversation there where they're talking about... he might not even be in the video, so I might be... Anyway, but either way... she's talking about the names that she gave the other contestants, because if she were to technically sign out their names every time she referred to them, then usually you sort of spell out their names using your fingers. And that's quite a long process.
Imagine time consuming.
So she said that what they do in BSL is that they have sort of little, you have a little nickname, just in the same way that they came up with little sort of nicknames for Showstopper and Technical and Signature and stuff. They came up with little kind of ways in which they could sign it. So they came up with little signs for the other contestants. And I loved that because it did give you an insight into who was lovely. And not necessarily who was not, but definitely who was lovely.
Who was particularly lovely.
Yeah, so the one that I really remember is that the sign for Saki was sort of a flick of the wrist to kind of cover the head height of someone that was much shorter than her. And Saku came on at this point into the video and she said, this is your sign, because this is how high you come up when we hug.
That's so sweet.
I know. I could barely contain myself at that point, which made you just think Saku is amazing as expected.
Yeah.
And Tasha also amazing as expected. Also the sign for Dan was kind of hands crossed over chest, which was to reflect how kind he was.
That's very, very sweet. I really feel like this final episode was kind of where we saw that from Dan. I don't know. It just
felt like...
Oh my God, he
was so kind in this
episode.
He was so
kind. Like, it really, really felt like... I've said this later on in my notes, but I wanted to... say that I completely take back. And in last week's episode, I think I was like, oh, I'm not sure about the fact. Obviously, we were all devastated by Tasha's elimination from the show. That was what everybody was talking about on our Podsquad group chat about Bake Off. But I think I was mainly a bit gutted that I was like, oh, we've got three white blokes basically in the final, and is it going to sort of like... Usually Bake Off's got a relatively diverse kind of cast.
It did feel undiverse,
And I was like, oh, is that going to mean that we haven't got quite as much diversity of character? It's going to be a bit boring. But, oh my God, I do take it back. Yeah. And the three of them had so much chemistry, and you could really see the love of the kind of bond of the three of them together. And Dan really came across as like the dad.
Yes, in particular.
It was sweet.
It was very sweet, wasn't it? There was at one point he was asking if everyone was all right and stuff like that, which was just incredibly sweet.
It was very lovely. Yeah. And he was so supportive, like when they'd done well.
Yeah.
He'd be like, go on, Matty lad. Or whatever.
Yes,
it was so cute.
I know.
It was so,
so
sweet.
Sweet. I loved it.
The first person. I mean, I know it must... we're skipping to the end and giving spoilers, but like he was obviously like the first person to give Matty a huge hug when he found out that he'd won. And I suppose appreciate that Dan really didn't think he had a chance at that point. So I suppose he wasn't feeling any sort of sadness. He was just feeling, it was so genuine.
And it was.
I really, really loved Dan. I'm not surprised to hear that Tasha thinks of him as a warm hug.
Oh, it was amazing. Should we get into it?
Shall we? Should we have the signature jingle? Because even though we're live this week, when I say live, I mean we're looking at each other's faces rather than a screen.
Yeah.
But We're still going to have the jingles.
Let's have the jingles.
It's time for the signature.
Signature time.
It's signature time.
Amazing.
Love it. So the signature this week was Eclairs. Am I right?
Oh, yes. And what a good choice.
I know.
I just thought that was great.
Honestly, really good.
Little cheers. I had little cheers. There were bits during this episode where I was just smiling. I was watching it on my own, but I was smiling so much because I was just like, what a good choice.
I laughed aloud at many points and I think Doug must have thought I was bonkers.
I absolutely love this. I thought this was really good to get something that's essentially quite simple. And I love this. This goes back to the sort of Victoria sponge bake. I just thought it was fabulous. It's
simple,
a really good choice.
But difficult, and like you can really tell a good one from a. It was a great thing to judge on, I feel.
Yeah.
Because you can, I don't know, there are lots of things to get wrong.
Yes. And it felt like lots. Well, Dan's ones.
Well, yeah.
Have you ever made choux pastry?
No, but nor I reckon I was actually talking because
looks easy
my
there, right?
Brilliant friend Harry, who I don't know if we've discussed her on the pod before, but we've certainly mentioned things she's done on the pod before. Mm. So she made some Rice Krispie treats that we ate the other week that basically paralysed us into
sugar. They were amazing.
Attack.
Yeah.
They were incredible. She's a trained pastry chef and she's brilliant. She makes amazing things. And we were talking, so she is starting a baking TikTok, which when it comes out, we'll stick it somewhere or whatever so you can see it. She's not launched it yet, but she's started and she's been filming these videos. And we did one over the weekend where we were taste testing gingerbread.
Oh.
And it was all amazing. Though the brown butter was the winner for me.
Oh, really?
But she was talking about other things she could do. And one of the things that she wants to do is like all of her friends who don't know how to bake. We all have to see if we can try and make a croque en bouche without any instructions.
Oh my God.
I know. Which would be so fun. Yeah. So I have actually very recently been thinking about, would I be able to make choux pastry without looking it up?
Yeah.
And I reckon I could give it a go because it looks like you start by almost making like a roux.
Yes.
Except don't add too much. You're more flour than milk. So it's like you don't get to the point where it gets runny. But that's what it looks like in the pan where they make
it. But I don't know if there's any milk in it, but it's definitely you're melting
butter and flour in a pan.
Yeah, which makes it look as though it's easier than pastry that you're having to rub
in.
But
choux is traditionally considered to be one of the more difficult, isn't it?
It is. So, yeah.
Yeah, and then how are you getting the cream in? Do you inject it in?
That's what they were doing.
Were they?
Yeah.
I didn't notice what they were doing.
Yeah, so they were talking about making them, you have to bake it to such a kind of specific point where the inside goes hollow. And then did you see they were making little holes in the bottoms of them and squirting their filling in.
Mm-hmm.
And then as soon as it started bubbling up the other end, they knew that it was filled. But I think all three of them did a really good job of filling.
Yeah, actually. I mean, they all looked, apart from Dan's, which did look a little rustic.
Yes. He tried to make them posh, but in making them posh, he'd made them look shit.
He had, which was sad because it felt like he'd really gone, okay, I'm going to try and make them great. Really try and make an effort with my presentation this week. I wanted to note to you, before we move on and start sort of talking about their specific bakes.
Yes.
I don't want it to go unclocked that Matty didn't apply for Bake Off himself.
His girlfriend did.
His girlfriend applied for him. And I really feel as though I've been a bit unsure. And we talked about this last time and we were like, oh, is he sort of hustling them a little bit? Is he playing the bumbling idiot when really he's excellent? I think he's very insecure about the fact that he's a good baker. I don't think he really does think that he's any good.
That whole story about taking cakes, he'd taken brownies in or something and he'd pretended that his girlfriend had made them. He'd take them in to fulfill the kids at school. And this part.
And Alison was like, is it embarrassing? I don't think he's embarrassed of being a baker. I think he's very anxious about anybody sort of criticising him for any of it or whatever, because I just don't think that he thinks he's very good.
It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was. But this part of the show was absolutely lush because this was where we got the little videos of home life.
And,
so we had Lara, Matty's girlfriend, who was lovely. And there was kind of bits of him doing his PE classes at school.
Very
and then
sweet.
Josh with his parents. That did actually make me have a little weep because they were talking about his nan.
I know. That was very, very lovely. I really feel like... I know it would have been difficult to do it like this because I do usually save the real kind of like, let's look at them intimately until later, until the final. But I feel like I would have been really rooting for Josh if I'd have understood a bit more about his story. The fact that it was his nan who had encouraged him to apply first, and the fact that she died just before, basically, he'd managed to get on.
Didn't even know. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that really touched my heart.
Yeah.
And I felt like, I would have... Not that I need a sob story from Josh to root for him. He did brilliantly, but I think I wonder if he might have had, if they'd have made a bit more of telling us all that, then he might have had the narrative that he was maybe slightly missing.
Maybe, maybe, because he didn't. He always had a bit of a game face on it, and just I think maybe he just keeps things a little bit close to his chest slightly.
But, yeah, maybe he didn't want to. Oh my God, if I was on, would you? Give a sort of sob story. Oh, would you lean into a sob story?
Like, well, I was born in 73 and, you know, primary school was shit. And, you know, I'd totally lean into
it. I'm such an open book. I would be like, oh, who wants to hear about my bowel movements this morning as soon as I got in the tent every day? Are the cameras rolling? Okay.
Let's do it.
Here's what happened.
So what did you make of Dan's video?
Where he revealed that he hadn't told his children.
Yeah. And but also, like, what did it divulge about him? Because there were the two kids.
Yeah.
There wasn't a partner.
Oh, is he a single dad?
I think a single dad. I think. There was at one point there was a photograph of possibly a partner and a kid, but there was no partner talking. It was just him on his own. I mean, the partner, whatever partner he would have had to have had the children, may have decided not to be on camera.
Yeah, they may have decided not to be on camera. Yeah. But I do see what you mean. I didn't quite notice that maybe the partner is no longer about or is... Yeah, that's sad.
Then I had another question for you.
Yeah.
Do you know how old all three contestants are?
Okay, shall I guess?
Yes.
I think Matty is 28.
You are absolutely spot on.
I just knew he was 28.
You are so right. You are so right.
Because we're 28 and I was like, that he seems exactly me and Doug and our friends. I think I can see him.
Okay. Tell me Dan next.
Dan is 42.
He is 42.
What?
He's absolutely...
Oh my God, what's happening? Okay, and then...
Okay, Josh.
27.
How do you know that?
Are you joking?
No. How do you know that?
I didn't look that. Honestly, I don't know it.
I would not have.
I'm scared. I'm really scared.
I would not have pegged him at 27. I was shook.
Oh, maybe I'm really good at guessing ages. I think he looks a little older, but he does have the, what's the word? Like, his demeanour feels a bit younger than Matty's, for example. He doesn't quite have the confidence.
Yeah, Matty's seems absolutely his age.
Yeah, Matty seems
his
age.
And I think Dan seems his age, although it's slightly galling that he's 8 years younger than me. But Josh, I think he's just one of those people that was born slightly old.
He's got
he?
An old soul, but you can kind of tell in his eyes that actually
his
he
unlined
is,
face.
He's somehow 56 and 8 at the same time.
Yes, he is. Yeah. Both those things. It's particularly when he's carrying giant marrows across lawns.
Oh, yes. Oh, God. We have to talk about that bit at the end, because there's
Did
so much
cry?
To discuss.
I
nearly cried. Oh, my God.
Oh, anyway, right. So the bakes.
Okay,
the bakes themselves. The best ones were, well, I mean, there was that, the voiceover from Noel saying, in order to create the classic eclair look, you need to put sugar over the top. And who forgot? Matty forgot.
Dan forgot,
oh, Dan
I think.
Forgot.
So
oh, okay.
I think that may have all been the
that was the,
it was the beginning of the slippery slope, because I think Dan did psych himself out from the beginning, really. Because it was anyone's game going into it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All three of them. Yeah. Yeah, I think I would most have probably wanted to have eaten Matty's, so...
Yes, because I think Josh... Which of them was... Because I don't have my notes, I'm so sorry. One of them was very coconutty. And
that was Josh.
Yes, I would have backpedalled away from that.
Yes, I don't know whether I would have gone in for that either. The only coconut thing that I like, like pud-wise, are those little Ferrero Rocher that are white chocolate with the coconut.
Oh, my God. No, I can't face it. No,
I love them.
A dark chocolate bounty is my one.
Oh, really?
One and done. Yeah.
Oh, I actually felt slightly like I had like a wave.
Bilious. I've got to use that word more often.
Honestly, you couldn't. You could pay me to eat a dark chocolate bounty, but.
Oh yeah,
I would never, ever, ever choose it.
Yeah, same here with the white. Yeah, whatever things.
If
that
we've
you've
chosen
just,
that
awful thing,
you know that
described.
Something's. That's oh. How to see if we've done a Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
What baked good or sweet do we pick? Because it's gonna be we're gonna give ourselves away. The only other thing that I did want to say, I had a question for you about this, but also I did want to note, I realise this is not very good presentation skills because we've moved away from this entirely, but I've just seen it in my notes and I wanted to mention it. When we saw Josh's kind of family video.
Oh, yeah.
How did you feel about them going through the photo book and him going, oh, that's from our VIP experience at Gardener's World? I thought that was so him. I think that was him summed up in a moment. Oh, it was so sweet.
You're so right about him being an old soul. He is an old
soul,
isn't he?
Yeah, he's an old soul. And also, yeah, like the little boy who, I don't know, maybe got a little bit teased in his class.
Yeah.
But he actually was like the most interesting kid. Like the kid that you would want to have babysat.
Oh, yeah.
Because maybe all the other kids in the class don't quite get him yet or her yet, but oh my God, they're the most interesting to chat to.
Yeah.
All my little cousins are a bit, well, now they're all grown up with friends and stuff, but when they were little and they were little nerdy boys, they were so fucking interesting to talk to.
Yeah, and he'd be no trouble at all. He'd probably put his plates in the dishwasher and he would also probably have done the cooking in the first place anyway. So, he's that sort of boy, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
And he might even ask, he'd be an 8-year-old who'd actually sort of say, oh, how was your day?
He would. He would. He'd be like, I follow this little boy on Instagram. He's 2.5 and it's called, the channel is called Levi, Cooking for Levi.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a little boy and his dad's a professional chef and he makes him things and he's so small. He's literally 2.5. He's younger than our niece, but he says things like, is there yeast in this? And stuff like that. That's what Josh is like. That's how I imagine him age 3. Oh, he's so funny.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be Josh, wouldn't it? Is this Rough Puff?
Yeah. And the last thing I was going to ask you before we move on to the technical, if you're ready to move on.
I am.
Is, so obviously we had an exchange between Josh and Alison where she asked him what he was going to miss most about the tent and he said her.
Yeah.
I did want to ask you, what are you going to miss most about this series of Bake Off as a spectator, not just about us having been doing this pod?
There's so many things I miss Saku like a friend has left my hometown. It feels like, where are you? And following her on Instagram feels sort of a bit empty.
Aww.
So I will miss her. I will miss Alison.
Yeah.
I will miss Alison. It's not going to make me watch Good Morning or whatever it is that she's on. But I don't miss her that much. Not that much. I just miss the feel of it, the love of it, the warmth of it, the way that they are, the way that they support each other is just the nicest. Whenever they do, that's the bit, because I remember trying to persuade my mum to watch it a few years ago. She went, oh no, I don't like competition TV. I don't like that sort of thing.
Oh, but it's so it's not like
it's
that.
It's not like that.
It's friends making Victoria sponges.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay.
I know that they, you know, they all go in it because they'd like to win it and stuff, but the competitive element is so reduced when you've got them sort of saying, oh, can I give you a hand? Or what can I do? Or do you need a hand? Like Dan saying to Josh, do you want a hand taking that up to the, you know, all of that.
Do completely feel you. It felt like, you know, you get a series on I'm a Celebrity where it's like sometimes they all, or that kind of thing, or Big Brother or something, where it's like sometimes they all really get on and it's great fun and sometimes they really are at loggerheads and it's really entertaining. But it's like, it felt like one of those, it's harder to, I think, to make a reality series where all the contestants are actually getting on really well and for it to be gripping and interesting viewing.
Yeah.
And I think they succeeded very much in this. series of Bake Off. It was cast very well, and they were all brilliant. Yeah.
You know, it reminded me, was it last year? And you're going to remember the name of the baker, but there was a particular baker either last year or the year before who wore very, very kind of florid floral shirts. Who was that? Do you remember? And when he left, kind of mid-series, the following week, everyone wore...
Oh my god, yes!
Do you remember?
He was that guy. Oh, he always wore like Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah.
We loved him. We didn't love him as much as Yanush, who we adored.
Oh my god, yes.
He was like the slightly a bit like Keith or whatever he was called in this series. He was the slightly unsuspecting older gent who you didn't think was necessarily going to do well, but he did.
Wasn't it? Of the by the way, side note, have you seen that Yanush has got a book out?
Oh, my God.
And it's called Baking with Pride.
I
know.
Okay. On the Christmas list. Isn't Doug's mum keeps texting me, asking me.
Immediately, it's going to be that.
It's that. Immediately that. I was going to say as well, I think exactly the same for me. I think I will miss Alison, though.
Will you?
I kind of concurred with Josh that I was like, oh, you know what? I really think, because I don't watch This Morning either.
Mm-hmm.
And the only, I loved Alison coming into this, but only really, I suppose, through popular culture. Like, she's quite memeable.
Yeah.
And so I'd seen she's been a judge on Drag Race, and she was, there's that classic video. I don't know if you've ever seen the video where her and Ainsley Harriet go into that woman's house. It's like an old woman who wins a prize on This Morning, and they try and give her like a TV or something.
Oh, right, yeah.
And she's this little old woman, bless her. And Alison goes, oh, Jill, you've won a TV, darling. And she goes, and guess who's going to come and cook for you right now? And then Ainsley Harriet bursts in and he goes, why, hello, Jill. And she is absolutely terrified. So funny.
Yes, I got that.
Have you seen that? I mainly know Alison from such moments.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
There's this, and I think I will miss seeing her in something where we actually really got to see her personality, not just like the meme form of her.
Yeah.
And we really got to see like why she is such a national treasure, because she's so lovable.
It's not just clips of her falling into Albert Dock.
Yes, exactly. She really just proved herself as a host and presenter extraordinaire.
And she had her own Jamaican inflection when she said bake as well, which was like, only she can say that. She is allowed to say that. And that,
she's so brilliant. And the brumminess of it all. Lovely. As well. Oh, just glorious. I will miss her a lot.
Yeah, I think absolutely. Should we move on to
Let's do the tech.
Let's get technical.
Technical time.
It's time for the technical.
Brrr.
A new jingle. A secondary jingle there. Okay.
Yeah.
Lardy cake.
Yeah, I have actually bought this.
Have you?
I know, look at
it
your
sounds
face.
Like an insult.
It does.
Sounds like something that I look at myself in the mirror cake. In the morning and I'm like, you big old lardy cake.
I've bought this because it is pretty much up my strasser, but there's usually no spice in it. But yeah, I think the Cornish Bakehouse, they sell lardy cakes.
Do they?
Yeah. So
I mean, it does sound like a bit of you, but then I... Sorry, I had another little bit of cake.
You're fine.
Not lardy cake.
No.
I know that you do go in for the denser sponge.
I do.
And you like a bit more of a sort of rock cakey situation.
Yeah.
But you don't... I would be surprised to see Esther Newman laminating lard into a...
Yeah, it's an interesting choice for me.
Yeah.
But the cake itself looks like something I'm going to love. So I have bought it because it looks right.
Yeah.
And actually, to be honest, it didn't... whenever I've bought it, it doesn't look like what Paul was explaining it was. It did not look bready at all. It was usually extremely dense, very, very sugary. And you know when you have granulated sugar, which is crystallising on the top, it got all of that.
Oh,
it's very, very shiny, very, very crunchy on top.
Maybe that's what I should have used instead of caster on my
It was amazing.
Lemon,
and it was,
it would have been crystallisy.
Or maybe, I don't know. It's perfect.
Time.
It's perfect as it is.
Thank you.
But yeah, really, really lovely and fruity and and really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But there really was, with the three bakes, there was only one that got it right, right?
Yeah, Josh.
Yeah.
Matty and Dan's looked like a fucking dog's dinner, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Dan's was burnt, Matty's was under.
So I disagreed with the judging on it. Actually,
did you?
Yeah, because didn't they place Matty third?
No, I think he was second. I think Dan.
Oh, really?
Oh, no. Yeah.
I think Matty was third. And then Dan's burnt dog's dinner was
Dan's
second.
Yeah, Dan's burnt dog's dinner looked like it should have been third.
It should definitely have been third.
Yeah, maybe that was why, because it did. I do appreciate, if there are Josh fans out there, they were probably crying riggory and lies from the rooftops at this episode, because it was a very close race. And I think Matty coming last in the technical, surely he would have thought had sealed his fate. But maybe if it was just such a narrow...
Yeah, maybe it
then
was
that
narrow.
Makes a bit more sense.
Then it does make more sense.
Mm.
I do think overall, and maybe I'm talking about a conversation that we should be having towards the end of this episode, but I did think... controversial thing coming up. I did think that the quality of the bakers this year hasn't been up to previous years.
Mm-hmm.
So if I thought about, particularly when it came to the showstopper, like I loved what the show... I know, sorry, I'm forging ahead.
No.
I will retract and say, but thinking about the showstopper and thinking about what those looked like and bearing in mind like Frances Quinn doing the wedding cake from whenever that was, 10 years ago? Was that 2013?
Yeah, that was the first series, wasn't it? Or maybe it wasn't.
It was almost.
Yeah.
But I remember that being absolutely spectacular.
Yeah.
So I just feel like, and like if you think about people like Kim Joy or Raoul, like I was even watching a little Raoul video this morning where he was doing a sort of lovely fig cake thing. And it's like, mate, these things were so beautiful as well as clearly going to taste gorgeous. And it was just like, oh, I'm not sure the bakers
Nadia.
This year.
I mean, Nadia. Here she is.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Matty is now in the same camp as Nadia Hussein.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously she's got her own, she's got multiple books out. She's done her own cookery shows. She's got a new range of spice mixes. Like,
yeah, I don't
see
Matty
doing... She is next level.
Matty
I don't
doing...
quite set for Matty either, but...
No.
We shall see what the future holds for him.
Who knows?
My thoughts on...
Sorry.
No, don't be. It's only because I'm thinking about the listeners going,
where
was the jingle for the show stopper?
Yeah, sorry, not even got to it.
All I've really said about that lardy cake situation is it was just my worst nightmare, really. Oh, I know. The first mention of running on this series,
was it?
I believe.
I missed that.
Josh, well, I think... I might be wrong. I think maybe in the first episode, Matty and Lara were running together in one in the sort of... Matty is 428 from Rover. But this was Josh saying that he'd eaten so much cake and stuff over the course of the bake-off process that he was going to have to go for a lot of runs when he...
Oh.
Yeah, first mention of running.
Ooh.
Yeah, so Josh potentially outing himself as a runner there. Though I did also want to do a disclaimer that running is not a antidote to cake in the same way that a sort of vaccine might work. They are two separate things that you can enjoy independently of each other.
Well said.
But the sentiment was that Josh was looking forward to going for some runs, which I thought was worth giving a shout out for.
Yay for running. Absolutely brilliant. So you would never have eaten any of these things?
I wouldn't have touched them with a fucking barge pole.
Mm-hmm. Because of the way they looked or because of the lard aspect?
Both and yes.
Shall we move swiftly on to Showstopper then?
Let's go for the Showstopper.
Showstopper.
Beautifully done.
Bring. It's really hard not to try and do our own jingle because we leave a little pause for the jingle so Dave can insert it, which of course is a breeding ground for
us going
to do a new jingle.
Showstopper. Right. Okay. So Showstopper. Loved this.
Oh yeah. Can you tell me what it was? Three-tiered
celebration cake. But it was based, wasn't it, based on one of their first bakes or something like that. So that the idea was,
of course,
which I thought was quite nice, and it had a kind of Strictly Come Dancing element to it. Do you remember? Because there's a bit in Strictly, isn't there, where they sort of say, "Oh, do this dance again."
Oh, they do. Yeah, they get to do one of their favorite dance from the season again.
Yeah, yeah. So it felt like, I loved
that.
Actually, I thought it was fabulous. Fabulous.
Yeah, that was really nice. So Dan decided to focus on. I've said Dan first, and he's probably the one that I can't remember the most. Josh's was Victoria Sponges. Oh, Dan was lemon drizzles and lemon meringue situation.
Yeah, that's right.
Matty was like a chocolate cake and a Victoria Sponge as well, I think.
Yeah. And so definitely as they were talking through them, I was like, oh, Matty's.
Yeah,
sure.
Matty's chocolate cake, the one that Paul waxed lyrical over, the one that basically won him this show.
It was amazing. But he talked
Paul
about it.
Paul just looked in heaven.
He did,
and
didn't he?
I do think that, oh my God, it was the way the fork kind of went in.
Went in, yeah.
It was so soft, but also looked dense and looked moist. It was amazing. Sorry about
moist. did you see in between the layers? He'd also baked brownie that was being sprinkled in between.
Into the buttercream stuff. Oh my God.
I mean, okay, but please tell me, because I don't know, what is a Genoese sponge?
Oh, okay. Oh, I know that it's quite difficult. Oh, no, I think I'm thinking of a Jacon sponge. Okay, let me really, really quickly look this up.
He said it was lighter and fluffier and so possibly not ideal for the base sponge because he was using it as the base of
it
and the
top
of it. Did
Matty used it.
That was his chocolate, was a Genoese.
A Genoese sponge is unique because it uses whipped egg to leaven the cake rather than relying on baking powder or bicarbonate of soda. So I don't think it's quite like doing a flourless sponge, but
That would be much, much lighter. It's the kind of, I guess, for you'd have the same kind of sponge perhaps for a Swiss roll?
Yeah, my family's Bouche de Noël.
Bouche de Noël.
Yeah, which has, God, had so many shout-outs on this podcast. But it is actually, it's not invented by the Taylor family. It's a Delia Smith. You can find it in Delia's Christmas. Okay.
But what did you think about this then as a task? What did you...
I loved it as well. Oh. I thought that it was really nice. I thought, I do think though... Here we go. With a little bit of potential controversy, because I will say now ahead of time, I'm so, so pleased that Matty won. However, I find this a little bit cheeky because the whole point of this showstopper was like throwing it back to the very first bake they did on the show, or the very first bake ever. Mm. It was sort of like hinting to their like that it was going to be a demonstration of their journey through baking and of them, their evolution as bakers.
Yeah.
And I do think that if you're like looking back and judging a whole body of work, then Josh and Dan, particularly Josh, have done better in the competition.
Oh, so if they were being judged from episode one to episode 10.
But were they? Because like, again, to draw parallels with my favourite competition reality show, RuPaul's Drag Race, they would say in the final episode, most episodes you're just judged on the challenge.
Yes.
But in the finale, RuPaul says you will be judged on your performance this week and as in the competition as a whole when it comes to the finale, because that does feel right and fair, doesn't it?
Feel right and fair, but I don't think, I mean, a bit like Strictly, calling on my other love, Strictly, you're only judged on that performance.
Even in the final.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In the final. I mean, well, the thing, well, so like, maybe... actually, maybe not true, because it's character-based voting as well, isn't it? Because you get true. Public vote
you
as
get
well.
The public
and this
vote.
Is just the judges.
The judges.
Thanks, Tess. But yeah, beautiful, beautiful concept for a challenge.
Yeah, I loved it.
And really lovely. But
I would have smashed my head into every single one of those cakes and just eaten it like...
From the inside out.
Like, yeah, with my hands behind my back like I was...
Bobbing for apples.
Yeah, the whole thing. Of every single one of them.
So
apart from Dan's macarons, that I would have spat them out.
They did not look. I don't like macarons when they're good.
I don't like them when they're good very much either. I think that they. I'm just not big on sort of marzipan-y flavours like almond, and I find macarons a little bit marzipan-y for me. And the texture is just a bit strange.
The texture's really weird. Don't like the texture. Mm. Don't like the texture.
I love meringue and stuff, but I just.
There's something about them, isn't there? It's just
ring, ring, ring. It's like, are you a meringue or are you a cake or are you a biscuit or are you a... They're having an identity crisis.
They are indeed. Yeah, they think they're too posh for their boots as well.
Yeah, they do.
So what did you make of the final three? What did you... I mean, you know, yeah, but let's do Dan's.
Okay, Dan, I mean, it was pretty clear, wasn't it, that he was not going to be... winning.
No. He was not.
No, I think from the moment that he... My favourite moment of him when he was finishing his off was when he was trying to put those... And I love the whole concept of his cake. It sounded incredible. The white chocolate sort of skirt thing he was
collar.
Trying to put... Collar. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
That he was trying to put round his thing when it didn't fit. I loved the look of complete... It was like he'd gone past disappointment.
Yeah.
Acceptance he wasn't going to win, sort of frustration at himself for that, and he'd just gone fully into just kind of like back into maybe a bit of resignation
that
and then
was
he'd
was,
gone
it,
back
yeah.
into like sort of like are you fucking is this a joke
yes that's exactly point? What yeah. it was yeah. it was so funny and I think because up to that point you know having witnessed because I found it very very stressful as I always do that final showstopper and there was lots of bleeping out of swearing and stuff like that
oh yeah
but actually as far as Dan was concerned there was just more
it
of
was
a kind
just
of like
facial
a, oh,
expressions
Jesus.
Yeah. I loved that.
Funny
I was thinking wouldn't it be so funny like I find beeping swear words really really funny like often funnier than swear words themselves and I really find it funny when people bleep like I was trying to imagine what the funniest ones would be to hear where like you can't quite work out, like, you can't work out what they said, but it must be something. I don't know, like if you had, like, beep my beep, you'd be like, what the heck have they just said there?
Yeah.
I was trying to imagine the most hilarious combinations of beeping. Yeah.
Yeah, beep that up, my beeping.
Yeah,
beep.
Yeah. That would be so funny.
What I loved in terms of the beeping was Matty... who did a beep because something fell off or something didn't work. And then he immediately looked up to the camera and said, oh, sorry.
Did he?
Yeah.
Aww. Like if I used to swear as a child going, sorry, God.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did. Used to do that. Sorry, God. I've got a lot of apologies to God for this show.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've done Dan.
Yeah.
Tell me your thoughts then on Josh. Tell me about Josh.
Oh, I thought it was awful.
Did you?
Yes, it was so funny. I thought the look of it was so bad. And I thought they were quite... It was not what I was expecting. And actually, from afar, I thought, oh, you know, that looks as though he's doing a professional job.
Yeah.
But when he started filling in the marrow on the outside and stuff, it just looked really kind of felt tip drawn by
it did,
a child.
Which was a shame because I feel like Josh's presentation... as he's gone has been really good. But then I think that they were so determined to get these bakes right because they all seem to be, maybe with the exception of Matty, they all seem to be rushing the decoration of it all a little bit. So I wonder if they didn't have that much time. God, doesn't it fuck you off when Paul Hollywood says things like, you just needed to spend about 30 minutes.
I know. So, I'll give him 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's, I wouldn't have thought of spending more time on it. Yeah, for some reason, though, I just didn't feel I was able to. Something was telling me I had to stop. God. But I felt that, that was a bit of an anomaly for poor old Josh, who usually is artistically...
He's pretty good, isn't he?
Skilled.
I thought the colours were...
Gross.
Horrid,
they were a bit,
like really weird. It looked like a fake cake.
Yeah.
So it just didn't look... And that was the one that made me just think that would have been like the Frances Quinn equivalent, where I think Frances Quinn, I remember being... so flawed by her wedding, because I remember, I mean flawed not as in AW, I mean anyway, but I remember that her wedding cake was, I think she did a naked cake, so it had that lovely, and I'd never seen one done,
oh, they're
done
so
like that
pretty.
Before, because that was like 10 years ago, and she draped all this stuff down the side and it just looked spectacular.
Yeah.
And this just looked, I mean, there was a load of work in it. I love the little greenhouse on top and stuff like that.
The greenhouse was great. And that obviously tasted nice, which often those sugar work things are a bit shit.
Yes, they are. Because they're just a vehicle for...
Yeah, but it did actually sound like both Paul and Prue seemed quite...
So went, ooh.
I'm going to go for another bite of that. Yeah.
But it wasn't great. So I kind of, at that point, I was like, oh my God, is it going to be Matty?
I know. And?
What do you reckon?
Well, I think Matty certainly was... sorry, I'm going to be annoying and just put my mic a little bit higher up. Matty certainly was... And also check that it's still recording. It is. Hurrah! his looked beautiful. I think he's sort of like been a little bit of a sly dog throughout this competition with the artistic stuff, because he's made it seem as though he's not really, he's a bit like, just slapping it together. But I think he has got a real artistic flair because...
Clearly, yeah.
Yeah, he did that really, really nicely. And that's not just, a simple thing that you can do really... I thought that took quite a lot of skill.
Yeah, and the way he described his methodology with it was, he was just, I love the fact that he is so... I don't really mean humble, but so kind of, he's so willing to ask for help and support that he has asked his partner to help in terms of artistic.
Show him how to decorate it.
And he, you could hear, he was sort of saying, Lara said that I need to just make sure it all goes in the same direction. And
it was really heartbreaking.
It was so sweet.
But his really did. Oh my God, I would have smashed it.
It looked amazing.
It looked so tasty. I would love that for like a wedding cake or something.
Yeah, because... and the inside of it looked incredible. Like you said, the kind of the chocolate particularly, when they cut through that.
Oh my God. That wasn't just like a bit like my lemon drizzle where, and I'm not doing myself down, but genuinely, when I cut into it and I was like, that's all right, that's a cake.
Mm.
It was like, oh my God, it looked perfect.
It looked like a
Getty Images cake. Yes. It was like, it just looked so, I don't know how he, well, I guess because it was slightly on a wonk, wasn't it? But it was very impressive how he managed to make a three-tiered thing that was that moist and soft and like, it looked like, you would just be like biting into cloud cake.
It looked incredible.
It looked great.
Incredible.
It seems like he really did seal the deal in that final thing, which was so exciting. It was very exciting.
It was incredibly exciting because you knew it wasn't going to be Dan, didn't you? But it was...
It was gearing up to be Josh.
Absolutely.
And we'd all written Matty off.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I was like, I think last week we were like, we'd love him to win, but he won't.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah.
So
for it to
turn around like that and suddenly...
It was amazing. I love that bit as well. So they go out into the garden. They've got the helter-skelter and all the balloons and all of that. It's so sweet. I was thinking how amazing that would be to be there.
Yes.
It would be so exciting.
Yeah.
And they announce the winner. And the winner is... Lara! I did make that joke to myself because when it was happening, because bless his heart, he was just, he's obviously besotted.
Absolutely,
and they were very, very sweet together, but he was talking a lot in that final episode about her and he clearly was, Yeah.
Yeah. And it was...
Not relying on her, because that sounds like I'm giving her the credit for his win, but yeah. it felt like he was, like, clinging on to every shred of self-assurance she'd given him.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my God. It was so lovely. And to see all the other bakers come back.
I know. That was one of my questions for you. Who were you excited to see? I don't think I clocked Rowan. But yeah. I was making a secondary coffee at this point. So I may have got up to make a coffee just as he came on the screen or something.
Oh, do you know what? I can't remember
I don't think
now.
I saw Rowan.
I can't remember. I
mean, of course we had Saku.
We had Saku. There's definitely been video of him. So there was, you know, right at the end when they do the little clips of everyone and what they're up to. He was definitely there.
They were all there, I think. I don't think there was anyone that I didn't see.
No, they were all there. And it was absolutely lovely. Yeah, it's so incorrect to use a whole term. Mm. So wholesome.
It was
lovely.
That was one of my favourite bits. I thought Matty was going to propose to Lara for a minute, and actually I was a little bit worried about that. I was like, that's going to be a bit, I don't know. Yeah, there's caught a bit where up in all the excitement, maybe it wouldn't have been, but I was worried it would be a bit kitsch.
Oh yeah,
a little
bit. He wandered over, didn't he, with a bunch
of flowers. He was like, Lara, I need you, or something, and I was like, oh, what's going to happen? Yeah. Oh my God, he's going to do it.
But then they asked Saku, who's going to win? And she was like, oh, Matty, or... Dan or Josh.
Yeah, amazing. Adore her. She's so iconic. Or what's his name? Is it Keith, the older bloke who was like, it's like picking your favourite child. I couldn't possibly Josh.
Josh.
Yeah. That was great.
So funny.
Oh, great.
Oh, yeah. Love
that. But let's talk about the best bit of any series of Bake Off. Ever and always. What are they up to now?
I got so excited, Ollie. I'm so excited. I loved it. So Rowan had graduated.
Yeah.
That might be one of the reasons why he wasn't on there.
Oh, yeah. Maybe it was like his graduation was going on or something. Yeah. Because I didn't see him.
Well, he was there. So, he was there in the video anyway, at least. Mm. But yeah, then it's all the various road trips they've been on, and they've gone to visit each other. And they've got
Nikki and Saku had been on a trip.
Yeah. Abby's still foraging.
I know. I was a little sad that I didn't notice Abby in any of the other bakers. Like she hadn't been to the big night out in London.
No.
She hadn't had been part of, I don't think I saw her on Nikki and Saku's road trip. They did just use the same footage that they'd used of her foraging from thing, and they were just like, she's still foraging.
Oh, maybe she just decided that she didn't want to engage with it very much.
Yeah, maybe. Fair enough. I mean, she'd obviously had quite a sad time of it.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't message her now. Remember, I was like, oh, I'm going to get her on the pod.
I'm glad I didn't, in case she didn't really love it. Josh... That's when he was hofting across the field holding
the biggest
marrow
I've ever seen in my life. And he did get his trophy. He got a win.
Oh, for his marrow. Oh, bless
God,
his boots.
It really... I actually feel national pride when I think about Bake Off. I rarely feel national pride. But I love the idea of other people from other countries watching our stupid baking programme and going, oh, is this what it's like in the UK? Yeah, it is. That is actually what it's like.
We're all aspiring to grow massive marrows.
Genuinely, there are big marrow competitions and people get well into it. We're such a weird little island. And I sometimes love it. Most of the time I don't. Most of the time I'm like, oh God, we're such a weird little island. But sometimes I'm like, isn't it sweet?
Isn't it sweet? But what was the sweetest thing was Matty,
Being engaged to Lara. How lovely. Very, very sweet.
I mean, I did cry.
Did you?
Yeah.
You're so lovely. I never cry at TV. I'm such a horrible, callous bitch.
No, but Holly, that's the only time I do cry. Mm. Like, if a family member dies, I'm dry as a whistle. Literally, put a John Lewis advert on and I'm in buckets.
Oh. It's like maybe I've got the opposite, because I cry a lot in life. But I remember this with my sister when she was like, she was leaving school, moving schools. And you know what a big deal that is when you're small.
Huge.
And she was really, really sad. And it was the last day of school. And we were like, before she moved, and we were like, oh, Daze, you know, are you all right? And she was like, I don't want to like be around people. I'm going to go home on my own. So she walked home.
Oh.
And then when I got back, she was to try and make herself feel better because she'd been crying while she was around all the other people. She was watching The Purge. And
what's The Purge? Oh, it's
like a horrific horror film.
Oh,
and
Christ.
She was just like completely stony faced, just in silence on her own, watching The Purge. And I was like, that's one way to get your emotions out. Maybe that's a bit what me and my family are like. Very, very emotional in person, but watching telly would just sort of...
Yeah, because, yeah. You know, to mention running slightly, well, not really, but when we were on a plane going to New York for me to do the New York Marathon, on the way back or even on the way there.
Yeah.
You watched horror movies.
Oh, I did, on a plane.
In midair, on a plane.
I did. Why? Do you know what happened? What? I did not tell you about this. I've a little disclaimer for anyone who happens to be listening to this on a plane, who's a nervous flyer, because I'm about to say something terrifying. I did tell you this, didn't I? That the particular horror film that I watched, it was called Knock at the Cabin. It was more of a thriller, I suppose, but it was scary. There was a lot of gore. And at one point, planes fall out of the sky. They just like go weightless and start like plummeting to the earth and exploding.
Yeah.
And so I was really proud of myself because I was like, I feel nothing.
I just like, I don't know how... I was a bundle of nerves and I just had to... What was I? I was watching some shit, I think, all over again. I was just watching...
We watched Colin from Accounts together.
We did, which is amazing.
Great.
Yeah, yeah.
And then...
I tried to watch about two or three different rom-coms
and
none of them stuck.
Yeah, you were struggling to settle, weren't you?
Yeah.
But
it's because I didn't want to watch Planes Fall Out of the Air. I think that was very badly vetted.
I can't believe that they weren't like, by the way, planes fall out of the air in this film or something before putting it on.
But then I think anyone that chooses to watch a horror film while they're actually in a plane flying over the ocean is a hardier soul.
Oh, thank you, because I don't feel like I'm a very hardy soul. I think it's just hard. We're all hardy in our various ways. And it's, I promise that's not a euphemism. I feel like I am quite weak and decrepit and vulnerable when it comes to, I don't know, getting told off still.
Mm.
I still get a wobbly lip if I get told off. Even like when we were in America and that boy was like shouted at me. He was like 15 and I was like, sorry. But then various things, I don't know, we've all got different things we're brave at. I'd be terrified to run a marathon.
Yeah,
that's what you were going and doing while I was like, ha ha ha, I'm watching a stupid film. Who's gonna get killed next? Ron Weasley, he was in it.
Oh, was he?
Well,
oh, yeah. Well,
so I guess, how do you feel? We've done it.
We've done
10
it.
10 weeks.
We've done it. Mm. I fucking love it. I want to do it again next year, right? Can we do it again next year?
Oh, yeah.
That was
for
so
sure.
Good. So good.
Either Bake Off or...
something else.
You know, we're happy to take your suggestions if you guys have got something that you'd like to watch us watch. But really, really loved Bake Off.
It was a
great, wholesome choice for us all.
Yeah.
And
it is. It is like a meeting of minds for us, isn't it? It's a bit like that whole discussion of what you like and what I like in a cake, which are forever disparate and separate, and cupcakes where I will eat the bottom and you will eat the top. But we come together with Bake Off because it just is perfect.
It's perfect. Yeah, it works brilliantly. Thank you, everyone, for listening, because I think we didn't really know how this would go. Obviously, we do chat a lot of shit on the podcast, but it is generally running themed. And so doing something completely different, we didn't really know how it would go down. But, you know, according to our stats on Acast...
Yeah.
You guys really enjoyed it, and thank you very much. And those of you who didn't, who don't care about Bake Off and who can't wait to be rid of this, it's your lucky day, because this was the last one.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right.
Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.